Chief's report.
A what?
Chief's report.
Okay, we're back on line at 7:30.
Okay, we're back open. All right. Ralph?
Okay, so in the last month we had the Mountain Man at the end of April, which was a really great event. We had the Utility 162 up here with us for that weekend, which was a really great asset to have out there. Gave us a quick way to get out there, kind of maneuver around, you know, all out there.
And by the way, it came back so clean, you can borrow it any time.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
We got it from the dealership. So
good.
That was awesome.
I wanted to return it better than that AC.
Well, you certainly did.
So I can use it in the future.
Well, there are
the
gas.
I'm glad that paid off.
You know, I didn't check the gas, but I don't care.
Hey, it was half a tank, but I gave it back. So
yeah. It was awesome. Yeah.
Great. It was a great event. You know, we had a bunch of volunteers actually sign up for shifts, and so there was actual time periods where volunteers came down here. They worked their shift for 4 hours, mingled with the people down there, which was really great. It was great PR. The event actually fed us and stuff, you know, for every volunteer that was helping out on their shift. So they got a free meal out of it. The interaction with the public was great. And it just kind of put our name out there that, yeah, we are doing things, and we are here to serve the public and the public that doesn't live in our community also gets to know us, you know, and, you know, talking to people from out of state, you know, from other agencies, fire department, law. So it was really great in a sense. We didn't really have any medical issues out there, any fire issues. I handed out a total of 3 Band-Aids to people that just had like little fingers. Someone kind of roughed up their skin a little bit because they had soft skin a little, you know, so we just put a little Band-Aid on there and kind of went on the way. So it was a really great time out there. And great experience. Around here, we actually have the new install of a heater bay out here. The heater for our bay was original with the building from 1992, is when the actual heater was installed and manufactured, according to the service tech that took it out. So it was definitely time for a new one. He went ahead and put on a 150 BTU heater, which is kind of similar to what we already had, but when we fired it up and actually felt you could actually feel the heat coming out and actually warming up the bay within a minute or two. So it's not going to have to run constantly all winter like it normally does to try and keep up to where it needs to be. We got a new thermostat with that also, which is really nice, a nice digital one, you know, so we could just, you know, real simple program it, you know, so it comes on, it goes actually all the way down to 40 degrees we want to sit in here, where the old one was like 55, you know, so, which is another thing, we don't need our bay when no one's in here at 55, you know, just, you know, 40 would be great, you know, just a little bit above freezing kind of deal in the water, so hopefully that will help ease the financial burden of the gas and electric during the heater winter times here at the station. Subline was excellent, so if you guys need to use them on any other projects in our district. Brad was very professional. He was here on time. He was very efficient in his time being here. You know, squared away things and cleaned up after himself like he was never here and never had any issues. And I definitely tip my hat off to him, you know, and all the great work that he did here for our station. So, other things kind of going on here. The wildland crew is back on here. And so we're kind of doing field mitigation work through here through the community. We're going to be cleaning up the cemetery to kind of help out with that on Thursday. And we're actually going to go through and start cleaning up all the hydrants around here in our community and stuff again. I kind of drove around today to kind of look at all the hydrants. And they're actually pretty decent shape compared because we just did it back in October. So there hasn't been too much growth during the winter. But there's probably a few spots that we definitely need to hit and take care of that we can actually see the hydrants from coming down, you know, 30 feet or so, you know, from down the road before we're actually on it and passing it. So that kind of stuff's going to be going around. And the big thing here this Thursday at 1800, we're going to have the Zoll representative come up and show us how to actually officially use the auto pulse. And so I've opened it up to all the departments along the SR18. I know our EMTs from the Northwest are supposed to come up here. I'm having the medical from Pine Valley come down here to get familiar with it because we actually had to use it in our community for the first time last week. And I think it's just great that we have all the different agencies that had to show up. You know, they didn't really have any training or really know how to use it with us. So I think it's great that we do the cross training amongst all the departments. And we're actually going to have GoCross come up here also to be part of it too, you know, so everyone's familiar on how to use it, because the standard that everyone's using around here is the Lucas So, you know, this is something new that we standardized across our district. So, you know, once other agencies come into our district, they know how to use the life-saving equipment that we kind of got here.
Sorry, you said that was the 14th?
No, it was,
14th. Yeah, 14th. Yes.
And that's 7?
6.
6.
6. Okay, perfect. 6.
So, okay.
Do you want to get refreshments for that, for the training?
Yeah, I guess we could do something like that, you know.
Do you have any recommendations?
I mean, I don't know. I think the guys from the refresher are sick of Little Caesars.
maybe we can get our pizza.
Sasquatch?
Yeah.
Oh. I'll see if they're available. I mean, it's kind of short notice, but if not, I could just run into town and get, you know, cookies and drinks or something, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of finger food or whatever.
Mike's.
Or call the pie shop and see if they'll make some.
Oh, they just do chicken.
If you can tie them, you're talking to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I can help out Thursday.
When you say cookies, you they'll.
Oh, cookies? Oh.
Or just get a couple of puns.
Yeah. All right, I'll look into that. I'll check out my list for tomorrow. Call wise here, we had 7 medical calls in the last month, 0 fire related, and 2 accidents on SR 18 this last month. So, overall, calls, which is about the average we do here in Central every month, kind of deal when it comes back to, you know, how many medical and stuff. If we average about anywhere from 5 to 7 medical calls a month.
Here. Was one of them at the intersection here?
No.
The accident?
One of the accidents was at the Brookside.
No, intersection, yeah, yeah. Intersection.
And then we had another Wells Fargo?
One where, yeah. Deer was over on Mile Marker.
Really?
29.
Yeah, behind the meadows.
Cool.
I'm not sure there was something, there was a side-by-side involved in it, too. And I'm not sure if somebody didn't see some, you know, cars coming. I don't know. Did you?
I wasn't on that.
Oh, you weren't on that.
My observation was the side-by-side was trying to take off across SR18 from the Wells Fargo to get over to the other side.
Get into the dirt.
To get into the dirt. And there was cross-traffic, and the cross-traffic kind of swerved so they wouldn't hit the side-by-side, and they just kind of collided into each other.
So that big old sign
that says
yeah.
It did work, I guess.
Well, you still have to take
you know what?
Attention.
Yeah, I guess it would have. It's the traffic that breaks it. Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Mike, Chris?
Like you said, traffic accidents and medical calls. No fires yet, so we're enjoying that. I took my brush truck over to the mechanic there in Vail and had him. We've had an antifreeze issue over the last little while, and so we're hopefully got a good. He didn't give me good news, but he said we've got it handled for a while.
Is it the radiator?
No, there's a. It might be a blown head gasket.
Oh, I saw he did the thermostat,
so,
right?
Yeah, he
crack block.
That was part of his. I don't think it's a crack block, but. Because there's no oil in the antifreeze itself, but the antifreeze is pressuring up too high, and it was pushing it out the cap. So he put a higher pressure cap on it, and then put in he drained some of the antifreeze, put in
stop
sealant that will hopefully repair that, but. So we'll see.
Okay.
And we got an oil change on it, too, because that happens about every year.
Isn't that like putting a 30-amp circuit breaker when your 20 keeps tripping?
Yeah. But anyway, that was the...
What vehicle is that on?
The brush truck?
The
brush truck, yeah. So I am shopping for I want to get a 40-foot container to put out there, so I'm shopping for that.
Yep.
And then just a carport alongside it.
You're watching Richie then?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's coming up in June, I think, right?
Yeah, it's coming up in a couple.
Okay.
There's one in Phoenix in the next week or so.
That'd be a
but Phoenix, Vegas but is the first week in June, I believe.
So. Do they deliver?
So
no. Yeah, no. When we go down and pick it up, they do.
No,
but how do you get it
up? They'll set it on a trailer for us.
Oh, do we have a trailer to put it on?
Oh, yeah. When we went down to get the tender, I took my pickup on it because we bought other stuff too.
Oh,
sometime.
Okay. I'm just curious, thinking about.
Yeah. I'll watch that.
Good.
Okay. it, I looked on Amazon at those all metal carports, and they weren't too bad. They weren't terribly expensive even on there.
Because so we always have a custom container too for a 40.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe John will give us a deal.
I'll get a couple prices.
Okay.
He's always been pretty good to us, though. So.
And then update on the library machine?
The electrician's coming.
Yeah, I think he should be coming. I'm hoping this week. I think they've got to get it in before the end of this month.
Oh, yeah, they had a cap on their
So they've got to get in by June 1st. So yeah. They've been up numerous times looking at things and figuring out what they're going to do. And so I think... I'm hoping this week they're going to have it, but they've got to have it by the end of the month.
Did they pour some out?
No, they're just going to put it on the sidewalk. They're right kind of near the door to the, where the paramedics go in.
No,
it's got a need.
It should be really good. It's a high traffic area. There's paved parking right there. It's
and
a really good spot.
Nothing they do will interfere with the Jenny install, right?
No. Jenny's going to go on the other side.
No.
But the wiring will be kind of in the same path. Because right where they're going to put that library box is just around the corner from the meter.
Got it.
The meter panel itself, and that's where he'll have to... But I'm sure the electricians will work together getting all that stuff done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Cool.
Okay.
Batter up?
Yep. Charlie?
So we had brush truck and a tender up at Homestead for a week. Food Network, they had a barbecue competition up there. And should make us about $6,000.
Wow. Any good food?
The only thing I got was a lamb chop that was divine. I showed up to check on things, and they hey, there's some left over from one of the competitions, and they handed me this lamb lollipop. Oh, that's all I got out of it, but it was really good.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that was the winners overall. They were the ones that did that lamb chop, so it was good. But anyways, it turned out to be a really good thing. They're talking about doing it again next year. But there's another movie that's being produced right now. And they're looking, I just put in a proposal for the brush truck. They're building a church up above Co-op Reservoir that they want to burn. So they want a brush truck.
Oh.
Or a scowling.
They're building a building to burn down?
Yeah.
We've got plenty that could dump it.
I know. It's
in the wrong place.
It's the movie. But that's where I was all day.
Cool.
It's spectacular what they're doing this. It's really going to be pretty. But anyways, so wait to hear back on that. And so that could be another.
Is it the same production company?
No, but it's kind of through the same guy that sets up all the EMS.
Cool.
For it, so he's kind of doing logistics on it. So he's the one that's coming to us for all this stuff, which is good.
Cool, excellent.
So I've also told our UTV we need that for anything, so you know, let us know. So we're going to do another pack test on Saturday. Chief Larson's going to run that for us, and then we'll be submitting everybody for red cards next week. Chief Flores and I are starting the blue car training this Saturday, so we're finally kicking that off and getting that going. And then we are working with Enterprise as the SR18 Chiefs Association. We're putting together what's called an MCI, Multiple Casualty
Mass
Incident.
Casualty.
Mass Casualty.
Yeah. Mass Casualty Incident Training. We're not going to have a mass casualty.
Yeah, we're not going to have a mass
incident. Yeah.
Thank you. But we're going to do it here in Central. We're going to simulate an incident at the beginning of a marathon.
When's that going to be?
On the 3rd of September.
It's in September.
But there's a lot that's going to go into it between now and then. We're going to have media. We're going to have quite a bit there.
It'll be a big deal.
We're trying to get the region put together this multiple casualty bus that is, it's like three counties.
That one?
I think it's up in Cedar. We're going to try and get that to come in. It's just a bus that comes in and you can put 20, 30 patients on the bus.
Okay.
And anyways, we're the medical training that we're doing with Enterprise is all kind of geared toward that MCI that we're doing. So we just went over triage this month, and we're going to go more into that. So that's kind of where we're going to be focusing on the next few months.
Do you have a Bluebird by any chance?
I don't know what kind of bus they're using. Don't know.
Okay. That happened to be, I used to do that for the U.S.
Oh, for the military? Yeah.
That could be one of mine that I planned.
It could be. But yeah, it has litters, you know, stacked up all the way through it. So.
Yeah, the Bluebird had a contract.
And we've already talked about the generator in the library and the swamp cooler going in at Gunlock. And I should hopefully have an idea when the swamp cooler's going in and when the generator's going in. I'll let you guys know.
Okay.
So. That's it for me.
Okay.
I got a question for Ralph.
Yes.
What's the protocol when you put Band-Aids on people? Do you have to kiss the Bobo first?
It depends if they're good looking.
I can't imagine the mountain man was a target-rich environment.
Yeah.
I want you chiefs, if you wouldn't mind, think about what things we should look for grants. Because I've been looking into some grant opportunities.
Can I, something I forgot to mention. So this came up at the chief's meeting last night. Pine Valley is using a service called Fund Navigator.
Okay.
They spent $4,700, and that takes care of five small...
Small projects. Each were under $150,000. If you go above $150,000, they have a different tier. But this, the $4,700, that will give them five chances, five opportunities,
Okay.
And they help them write the. They help them locate them. They help them find the grant opportunities.
Uh-huh.
Help them write the grant narrative.
Uh-huh.
And really tailor the grant narrative
right.
to help their chances.
Great.
They said one of them has gone through, one of their five originals that's starting out has gone through and they got $10,000.
Yeah.
So they've already doubled
right.
their
yeah.
investment.
Right.
Where is this place?
They started with.
Where is it?
I'm not sure. It's
Fund Navigator.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we need from you guys, what do you need? Or what
yeah.
do you want? You
and,
know,
and that's, yeah, we
I
do
think
need to look
if you could think that through and talk about it with yourselves, and then we would have a list, and then we could go towards it.
Yeah.
So the CIB grant, and it's been great for Gunlock,
oh my gosh,
right? Because
yeah.
it really built Gunlock, but those have been some big grants, and they're available, and they have money, and there's some timelines, but when I looked at it, it was like, okay, but what do you need? So if you could just talk about it, think about it, and then just let us know, and then we can then work towards that. But I started looking at them, and I'm like, but what are we going
yeah,
for?
If you guys
we're not going to get money. We, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to write you a check.
Right.
It's when we did the CIB, we have to front the money, send them the receipts and the check and a picture of it. Then they reimburse your money. So it's not
that's
like
how
get
most
a check.
Grants do.
Yeah.
Right.
So can the three of you look fleet-wide? Because we know Brookside... We've got at least two vehicles there to retire, but if we can
yep.
rotate the best vehicles at the stations that are the busiest.
Let's, well, three of us, maybe we get to do a conference call or something the next week and sit and think about where we want to go and what we want to get.
And they can even be like state grants for $5,000, $10,000, but I think if we need something big, it's CIB. And
yeah.
we have a good rapport with them and relationship, and we've proven ourselves and whatnot. So those are the big ones that
okay.
I would like to
okay.
work towards.
We don't want to stick you with paperwork.
Yeah.
But like that wildland fire grant that was $5,000 apiece, we lost $25,000 because I don't know what to write up for you.
Right.
I'll help you. The same with the license plate grant. I don't know if the opportunity's gone, but that's an easy $5,000 or whatever it is this year too.
Okay. But you got to each wish list.
Yeah. Okay. Computer,
but you need to
whatever
say what you want,
yeah.
Right. Right. So anyway, if you could.
Well, this is what I was waiting on for the public guild to ask about what we're doing for grants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I know they need, but it's kind of secondary to other things maybe, but the
turnouts?
Fire gear,
turnouts?
The coats and pants and stuff,
we've,
are years
we've got
over
that
their...
Covered. No,
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 no, it's not.
Oh, that's someone... Okay.
No.
Did you
Chief,
get some of them?
Do you want to address
yes.
that?
So, yeah, so we've... Every person who is Fire 1, Fire 2 certified is now in brand new gear. So
when did that happen?
That's been going on for the last
year
and a half.
We started. We bought quite a few, I'd say, a year and a half ago.
Year and a half. And then we had one person come through.
We've been staying talking about it being outdated quite a bit.
Yes, we've taken
it. I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah.
Yes.
The issue is, unless someone's certified, they can't go in and, you know, if you're not wildland certified, you can't go out there. So we're not going to buy equipment for somebody that's not certified.
Well, I know, but what we had was all outdated.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. But no, that's
so, you know, I'm 2 years behind, I guess.
Well, you were getting your new knee, remember?
And that's,
but that,
you only
that
got 3 years left,
first,
right?
First things we did was, I think that was our most glaring deficiency when we first kind of got started,
mm-hmm.
was that we had these certified individuals that were in substandard gear.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone that is certified to make entry into a burning building mm-hmm. is now in brand new gear. That.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. Because
And that commitment, anybody that makes it through and gets that certification, that's the first thing we do.
Yep, they're custom fitted, they're measured, and those uniforms are ready when they graduate. Same with our EMTs. They have all of their safety equipment, all their medical equipment. We purchase that for it. Chief's on top of it. Once they graduate,
for the
they have
and
it.
The auction of
yep.
All the ones that we have
so
are certified.
We need
right?
to get a set here for Central, and that's our next big purchase is going to be.
Well, all I can say is 3 Chinese chairs.
Fui, fui, fui.
So this is really good, and you may have missed it, but Chief.
Well, I've missed several.
Chief Feathery had put together a great PowerPoint to show all the accomplishments that have had made in the new equipment and stuff that we were able to get. So,
that was
2025. Yeah. So we'll do that again this year on what we're, our
that's
accomplishments.
Awesome. I'm
so.
Really pleased to hear that.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark?
Okay. So our next major purchase is a first response vehicle for VEO for our new EMTs. We now have a total of 6 in VEO? EMT paramedic.
We've got 4 in VEO.
4 in VEO.
Well,
2 in Gunlock.
So
that gives us 4 in Gunlock, and so now we have 5, including Mike in VEO.
So we don't have an appropriate vehicle to specifically go out for medical like we do now in Gunlock. So
and in we have one in Central now.
Yes.
Right.
So based on Christmas Eve's experience with this vehicle,
we're going to do a pickup.
We're looking at
Ralph
a pickup.
Like to talk about that.
I have
for the district. Yeah. My expense.
Formally requested to the city of St. George, and a very nice letter to please have first dibs on one of the 25 or so F-150s that they were going to, or other vehicles they had. And they, I got positive responses from the fire chief, from their fleet chief, and then when it got to their management team, they said, bleh, and blew it off and sent them out to auction. So I had explained to them that it's been many years we've supported their endeavors up here, and we've stood by for free on their fires and the lease, you know, that we're now...
Their events, the marathon.
Right.
And put the fires, the campfires out.
So they're all gone. So the next is the county. I'm going to be meeting a couple council members and renewing my request. I've already talked to the fleet manager a couple times. But we have several options to do that with them. So that's one way. So I'm looking for an F-150 whenever they're going to get rid of the next one. However, the same government Ford dealership up in... Salt Lake City area, forget the dealer, that we got this car from. They rotate most of the police departments and fire departments up there lease their vehicles on a 3-year stint. So the vehicles that get turned in, which is next month, are 3 years old, have 20,000 miles or so, you have easy miles on them.
Perfect time.
F-150 crew cabs, and already have all of the emergency equipment on it that will go with the purchase. So worst case, I've talked to the rep, the government rep. He's the downside is all 7 vehicles, I think, are black. However, it would look great with our new logos. So it doesn't fit our other protocol, but... You know, to have a great vehicle in great shape with 20,000 miles, it's barely broken in. So I'm looking at both purchase and lease options for that. But I'm hoping by the end, if the board approves it by the next meeting, I'll have pricing, firm pricing. And one way or another, we'll have a vehicle for those crews by the end of June. If we do get one of those, I'm almost ready. I'm going to try and get the radio thrown in with it, and I'll go down and program it myself, or on the way home, picking it up, I'll have it programmed to our stuff, so literally the next day, after a wax job, it's ready to hit the door.
Nice.
So that's your board approval.
Mm-hmm.
So our chiefs, are you okay with that?
Yeah,
Charlie?
Great.
Okay.
You're definitely earning your non-existent paycheck.
Yes.
Take 2 attaboys out of paycheck.
Let's see. Radio-wise, we still have a couple more vehicles to put the mobiles in, or were they all done?
Mine are all done. I think the only thing would be brush truck in Central or in Brookside, but we're looking to make a change there anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the engine in Brookside is already hooked up, so ready to go.
I still have one mobile then, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so worst case, we can put that
in.
We
can do that?
Yeah.
All right. Because there's no more discounts, and I'm not spending $5,500 for a Harris.
No.
So next would be a Motorola,
yeah.
If y'all are okay with that. That would be hopefully $2,500 or in that neighborhood. Tell me about it. Okay, and then lastly, a chest harness for the Harris portables. We just ordered some yesterday. Yeah. It'll be here Thursday. Would you two look at those and see?
Rob said those hope they look pretty good. They're just the sling.
Yeah, it's a nylon washable one. It's nothing like super fancy. It's only like $25.
I've only found one, and it's Ratty from Brookside. That was for the
is
other.
Is it a
radio.
Chest harness or is it?
No,
it's a strap.
Just like this exactly.
It's a strap.
So it's just a strap. You know, it clips on. Super cheap. You know, I mean, you wash it, throw it. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's just great. So I noticed that with my
volunteers that go on scene and they're trying to stick the radio in their pocket or put the gear, and then, you know, they're trying to do something and it's falling out or falling on the ground kind of deal. So I just figured this is, instead of buying those really super expensive $150
big leather ones,
which everyone likes, they're nice, but I think this is just a quick
alternative. If someone wants to get a leather one, they're welcome to
right.
That's kind of,
So, but I don't know if you want some, but we've got the part number.
I can order a few for you guys. Mm-hmm. I think the EMTs would like something like that, you know.
Because I've ordered 6 times now the belt clips that are missing from the warehouse, and I just don't see those things showing up anytime soon.
We did find some in one of the boxes, so yes. I think we're pretty good on some belt clips. But
so if you want them, please get them.
I'll order some tomorrow. I mean, it's a good price.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
And then the last thing for me is, looking long term, there's 2 capital projects that I'd like to start looking at. The paperwork is horrible. The state's improved the reporting a little bit, according to what they said at the meeting. I haven't looked at the papers yet, but I'd like to do 2 capital improvements, 1 at Vail and 1 here. Here would be making, well, twofold, getting this property deeded to the department so it's never taken away. Right now, well, I'll be dead by 2049 probably, but when the lease is up. But I'd like to see drive-through bays here, so a second attachable bay to the back with housing for wildland crews up above. And then whatever else we need, you know, the stairs and offices or whatever, you know, workout rooms. But that would be one project. Now, I've looked at the plans from the original construction here. I mean, this was amazing work that the community did on this. And it's solid. Now, I can't find a crack in this place. So it, you know, at some point we need to get a architect and see what it might cost for that. The second one would be extensions to probably your west to house the extra vehicles, where the room
decon
is, the decon room, would be adding probably 2 bays to that if we get rid of the stickers, and then offering the space in the back to the sheriff's department. But the generator's more than enough to cover anything we're going to do. There's no 3-phase stuff for that. But so if you could think of that, those would be 2 projects. What wasn't clear and what they couldn't explain would be, if we do, that's impact fees that fund the majority of that. So we would have all new construction, we'd have impact fees, again, we could charge. But is it per community or per district? So would impact fees, say if somebody in Gunlock builds a house, is there an impact fee on that for what we do in Central? I don't remember.
I don't remember. We did have an impact fee because of the payment on the building.
Yeah. Well, that was to the district.
I think it was district-wide.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there were projects that needed to go to in the other communities, then it would go to that. But it wasn't.
But it was planned for Vail, right? Because then we had to pay it off. It was the district that paid it off.
Yeah, but the initial one was Gunlock Fire Department's building.
Well,
and
I think the impact fees were assessed to anybody along within the district.
Okay. Anybody that built the new construction.
So those are the two major projects I'd like to have us think about. They're both fairly, I mean, it's not a huge thing to do. I mean, I think cost-wise,
I think they'd be.
My only worry is, and Chiefs, you would know, do we need to sprinkle the building? Do we need to put sprinklers in if we do current construction?
I think we put sleeping quarters in. We definitely have to.
But we have to look at the code.
We most definitely have to put in sprinklers.
We're very strict now.
Tom, I think if you can get the property signed over to the district, you probably have a lot better chance of putting in a grant for the construction of the additional.
Well, I looked that up, and it was under the same conditions. The state did give us a grant for part of this building, and it was the same rental from the Forest Service. So I don't think that's an impediment because they've already done it once. Same with Gunlock, even though the school or the church,
it was the church,
owned the lot, it wasn't an impediment to using public funds for it. However,
I mean, that's CIV that Gunlock.
But from a practical standpoint, there's so many limitations to touching this property on the outside that it's just not efficient. I mean, we're going to have to take a few plants away and some weeds to be able to, you know, and the mm-hmm. current agreement prohibits us from touching anything outside. So, anyway, that's all I have.
One other issue. I'm wondering what is being done to help find a qualified fire chief for Brookside? Because it's really handicapped to not have.
No, not at all.
We do have some individuals. Actually, I've got one in mind that I think coming along very well, that we can move him into a leadership position. I don't know if we make him a chief quite yet, but I think he's coming along very, very well.
Wasn't there a lady that's a captain there?
She has retired. She's had some health issues.
So what do they have us for at the department?
So right now their firefighters are training underneath Chief Larson. So that department is pretty much under Chief Larson.
How many do they have?
They got one person that lives in Brookside. There's two others that live outside of Brookside that are still active. Three that live outside of Brookside and are still active members of the department. But only one that lives in Brookside is an active member of the department.
And our departments respond
to those.
So.
Yeah. It is something that we are working on, and we do have someone that I believe is developing to the point that we can move him into a leadership position and then develop from there. So it's a tough one. There's not a lot of volunteers coming out of that area.
I'd just like to see them develop
Oh, absolutely.
Remember, most of the calls are medical.
I'm not finding fault. I'm just wondering.
Most of the calls are medical. The prior chief didn't respond to medical. There's an ambulance minutes away. Our whole team is there. So the response time is negligible there if it's medical, and that's the calls. I mean, we rarely have fire there, thank goodness. But when it is, everybody gets called.
Right.
Because that's
I don't know if it's as impactful to have it there, but for the community to have one there, that's what they expect, is to have a fire department. And so we are, I think our responses are going to be adequate right now with the way things are set up. But we do need to build that department back up. And so we need to find another route.
And we need some younger people willing to volunteer.
Folks,
they need to take
living
care of their own
in Brookside that are willing to do a little bit of that.
Yep. And
so,
people work, it's a challenge.
Basically, when they're talking about the Western Fire District, basically they want to close the Brookside station.
Well, I've been here 26 years now, and when I first got here, I think the average age, the medium age for firefighters was like 67.
Yeah.
So.
And it hasn't changed a whole lot. I'll say we're a little better here in Central. I'm the oldest guy on the department, so
I'm 46. Central's fixing our helper.
Yeah.
Bale's been doing. Bale's got some young guys, which is nice.
Yeah. And that's still in the United States, about 70% of firefighters are volunteers.
Wow.
And so it's hard, there's a lot of training, to get just to a firefighter one, you're talking about
140 hours training. Another 50 or so to go off firefighter two. So,
and what young man has that kind of time right now?
Well, that I mean, people that are dedicated enough to do that, I was concerned about having the proper gear for the guys that are, you know, awesome enough to be taking those risks and giving.
Well, I understand that was the first thing. I mean, when we started all of this, it was like, look, we're asking people to volunteer and basically risk their lives and put them in substandard equipment. It's just, we just can't do that. So,
I got to tell you, the two and a half years I've been coming to these meetings and stuff, you guys have turned this whole thing upside down and got it restructured and working like a Swiss watch.
It's not quite Swiss, but yeah, I think we're pretty good at China.
I really appreciate all you guys and dedication.
Do you have anything, sir?
Basically, I am pleased with what we're doing. You know, I've got, you know, Mark is putting tons of time.
Yeah, to see his little thing.
So he and her and Rosemary and Paula, you know, the things that we're trying to do is bearing fruit. You know, we've improved things over the last couple of years. You know, our PPE, our equipment. You know, we're making very good strides. Just keep on keeping on. You know, I'm very pleased with what we're doing.
Don't we have a couple of wildfires up north in Utah?
Too crazy. They're all kind of under, you know, 50 acres.
The closest one we have is down there by Jacobs Lake in Arizona. But this year, you know, around here, our ground is wet. You know, it's not that bad of a fire danger.
Well, you're still fighting these wildfires, right?
Oh, absolutely.
How old are you?
77.
Goals.
And so, yeah.
Ralph, you know.
Hey, I want to be that age and still fight fires too. Aren't
you?
I'm
shooting for it.
Final comments?
Well, that's, you know, basically, I told the guys as long as I can pass the back test,
God bless all of you.
I'm good. So yeah, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
One second.
Or adjourn.
Time is 8:13 p.m.
Okay.
Praise the Lord and pass the popcorn.
Under 2 hours. I love it.
Yeah, we're making progress there.
Yes, we are.
And that's,
I remember some of those 6 hour ones.
Yeah,
public
speaking.
You got some good cussing in those.
Stand up, speak up, shut up.
There's no more.